Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I'm here with my colleague, Zach Rosenblatt, my colleague for at least a few more days. Hi, Zach. How
Friday.
Are you?
Got till Friday. There'll be one more Ask Blatt, so you can send in your questions this week for the last time.
Don't be afraid to get personal with those questions, people. Zach's taking a new job in the South Jersey, Philly area, covering the Sixers. He's going to be leaving us, if you hadn't heard previously, so...
We'll talk about it later in the week. Yeah,
yes, but. Ask him anything. All right. Well, anyway, welcome to the show. We got lots to talk about today, Zach. Even though the football season has ended, there's no shortage of football news. Let's start with the big headline as it pertains to the Arizona Wildcats, and that is the health status of quarterback Khalil Tate.
Well, first is that they're going to the Foster Farms Bowl in general, probably, right?
Okay, sure. But that was it's the sort of like... item. Are they going to have Khalil Tate? Are they not going to have Khalil Tate? And whether they have him or not kind of determines, you know, whether they win the Foster Farms Bowl or any bowl that they're in or almost any game they're in. That's how valuable he is. We got a chance to ask Rich Rodriguez about Khalil's health on Sunday. Let's listen to what he had to say, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
How much can you say about how Khalil's come along since the Arizona State game injury-wise?
Well, he's fine. Yeah, it was a sprain, and you know, we had a couple of other guys banged up in that game, and I don't know the whole, what the medical prognosis is for some of those guys that were out, but most of them should be that were out of the game with minor injuries should be back hopefully for this game.
So you would expect Khalil to be available?
Yeah, he'll be good to go.
All right, so you heard from Rich Rodriguez regarding the health of Khalil Tate. Sounds good, right? He said that he's fine. Good to go, just a sprain. Do you believe that 100%,
yeah,
Zach?
I think so. I mean, if it was the Vegas Bowl, maybe we are a little more concerned, but this game's not for another 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. Like, that's a lot. Like, if it's the same injury he had earlier in this season when he played when he shouldn't have against Houston, then he missed, 3 weeks? This puts him on track to be healthy in the same kind of stretch. So, even more weeks if you factor in that. ASU game was over a week
ago. Right, it'll be about a month, and it's also his left shoulder.
Yeah, not even his
throwing
shoulder.
The concern that you have is that he's a running quarterback, right? We've seen pocket passers play with left shoulder injuries and do just fine, but they don't run the ball. They don't lower their shoulder into a defender as Khalil Tate would. That worries me a little bit. What else worries me a little, and, you know, again, this is not an apples-to-apples comparison, but when I was covering USC... Their point guard, Jordan McLaughlin, he had kind of like chronically bad shoulders. And he kept tearing his labrum. And like he ended up having surgery on both shoulders. And that was the only way for him to fix that problem. Now, I have no idea whether this is any sort of chronic issue with Khalil. But he hurt his right shoulder earlier this year. He hurt his left shoulder. You know, he is a pretty physical player for a quarterback. So I'm a little, you know, it's just a little bit worrisome to me. If I'm an Arizona fan and I know how important Khalil is to the future. So assuming that they have him, Zach, is Arizona just going to roll on Purdue or what?
I mean, isn't it the most least exciting opponent they could have gotten here? I was actually thinking about it. If you think about under Rich Rod, they've played, who'd they play that first year? They played Nevada in 2012. They played Boston College in 2013. They played Boise State in 2014.
And then
they
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Like, yeah. That's not the most inspiring. Now Purdue. So Purdue is the biggest name. I mean, Boise State's probably a bigger name, but Purdue's the biggest power. They're the only Power Five out of those.
Right. Well, Boise State's definitely a bigger brand.
But, I mean, the point being they haven't faced a big-time opponent. It makes sense when you're in the middle of the Pac-12. You're going to play a team either in the Mountain West or in the middle of the Big Ten or the ACC or whatever. So, but it's just, the bowl season's cool, but it would be cooler if they were going against somebody a little more exciting. I don't know anything about Purdue. We were joking yesterday. The only thing we know about Purdue is that their coach almost got hired by Tennessee, but he's not hired by Tennessee. I wouldn't have known Jeff Brohm's name before that.
He's a hot name in coaching, for sure, coming up through the ranks. And
it's only his first year, though, isn't it?
Yeah, when Purdue got him, it was considered a really good get. And he went 6-6 this year, and it's their first bowl appearance in 5 years. So that's all good. I think that playing a team of Purdue's caliber, and no disrespect to the Boilermakers, I'm sure they'll show up and
compete,
and they are a very good defensive team. But I think going into a game like this, being favored, assuming that they're going to win, that's a good thing for the program. Definitely increases the chances that they'll finish the season with a win, be 8-5. I don't think people are going to remember that much who the opponent was. They're just going to look back at Rich Rod's body of work and see another 8-5 season after 3-9. That's positive. Now, there were some people on Twitter who took another stance. They were saying, big deal. If they beat Purdue, what does it prove? If they had gone to the Holiday Bowl and played Michigan State and beat Michigan, a team of that caliber, that could really be a launching point for the offseason. Which side of that equation do you fall on?
I fall on that. I mean, I agree with that. Because if you go against Michigan State and you beat them, that's a nationally relevant team. And that, if nothing else, it pushes Khalil Tate's Heisman campaign into next season. Whereas if he gets 200 rushing yards against Purdue, it's going to be like, oh, it's good bowl game numbers, and then people forget about it in a week. I mean, it's never a bad thing to win a bowl game. It looks good on Rich Rod's resume. It looks good for Arizona. I mean, they've been to five out of his 6 years, which is impressive, no matter how relevant the bowls are. But like I said, it would have been more exciting. It would have been more interest in the game if they were in the Holiday Bowl, or even if they were playing Boise State in Vegas, because there's a lot of storylines there.
The matchups, and of course, this might have changed if the Pac-12 Bowls had picked things differently, but it would have been Michigan State if they had gone to the Holiday Bowl, and it would have been NC State had they gone to the Sun Bowl, which is another really solid team.
Ryan Finley.
The same name as our boss, your soon-to-be ex-boss, Ryan Finley, which would have been funny. Maybe Ryan Finley would have written a column about Ryan Finley.
Well, it's funny because he was on Boise State in 2014, and Ryan Finley wrote a column about Ryan Finley where he talked to him, and I think the other Ryan Finley might be from the Arizona area or something, but they talked about In-N-Out because that's the most R. Ryan Finley thing possible. You should look up the column. It's kind of funny, actually. But yeah, it's the same
Ryan
Finley.
He's already written about him. Okay.
Yeah.
Before my time.
Before your time.
That's really weird. But it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
It's not in play this year. And just for background purposes, if people were kind of confused about how the whole bowl process played out, there's a pecking order, right? Like the Pac-12 has these bowls that they're affiliated with, and depending on your record and stuff, that kind of where you fall in the rankings, there's a little bit of wiggle room kind of trading that can go on among the Alamo, Holiday, and Foster Farms bowls. And then once you get to the Sun Bowl on down, it's strictly by record. So at the end of the regular season, we all thought, based on their record,
Vegas Bowl,
that it would be the Vegas Bowl, right? However, we did not take into consideration that Washington, basically because some other teams lost, or the way things kind of played out on Championship Saturday.
Which is another whole discussion where they're getting punished for making, teams are getting punished for losing in the championship game as opposed to not being good enough to make it and going in ahead. But
that is a very good point, which is kind of what happened with Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Getting into the playoff. Yeah. So Washington gets up into the top 12 of the college football playoff ranking at number 11.
And they'll be in the Fiesta Bowl.
Right. They get into New Year's Six Bowl, as does USC. So two Pac-12 teams in the New Year's Six Bowls. Everybody moves up a notch. The Alamo Bowl has the first pick. They obviously go with Stanford, which is the most distinguished of those teams, 7-2 in the conference. And then, then things got a little interesting. The Holiday Bowl had the next pick, and they went with Washington State, which surprised me because Washington State was in the game last year. I figured they wouldn't want to go with the same team that they just had. They did not play well at all in that game. Minnesota had a bunch of suspended players,
and I don't know how
Washington State kind of didn't show up. Yeah, and
I don't know how keen their fans are to go from Pullman to San Diego either. I mean, San Diego is way better, obviously, but I don't know how well those fans travel.
I would definitely travel from Pullman to San Diego, kind of whatever it takes. No offense to anyone out there in Pullman, but San Diego's the best. Finest city in America.
Ryan.
Isn't that what Ryan said? Finest city in America. Yeah. So, okay. So then the next, the next one up is the Foster Farms Bowl. And apparently they wanted Arizona because the next team up in the pecking order was Arizona State. But with their uncertain coaching situation, maybe that made them less attractive. Foster Farms wanted Arizona. So they took the Wildcats. That left the Sun Bowl with ASU. And then, from that point on down, Oregon, it's just by Vegas records, Bowl. Oregon goes to the Vegas Bowl.
UCLA Cactus.
UCLA and the Cactus Bowl. All the Oregon players and fans, I think, were pretty happy about going to Vegas.
Well, there was a whole thing in the week leading up to bowl selection where Arizona had like 12 players go out on Twitter saying they went to Vegas. And you had ASU and Oregon guys coming and be like, no, we want to go to Vegas. We don't want to go to the Sun Bowl. Sun Bowl was the one game thrown under the bus quite a bit.
I wanted to go to the Sun Bowl, but that's just for personal selfish reasons and family reasons. But, I mean, they get to spend a long weekend in San Francisco, which is pretty cool, right? One of the best cities in America, one of the most fun places. All the activities are up there. The game is down in Santa Clara. I mean, the downside is that it overlaps with Christmas. So, some people, their families are going to be able to go up there. I'm sure there are some players whose families will not be able to make it. But I think for the most part, the kids are from the West Coast or from California. It's a pretty easy, ride, drive, or flight up to the Bay Area. So I think, it's going to work out for most of them. But Foster Farms Bowl, December 27th, 6-6, Purdue Boilermakers. The game is on Fox. Not on the Pac-12 network. So, hey, there's a bright side for you, Cats fans.
It's still like 10 p.m. East Coast time.
It's a little late. It's not quite. It's 5:30 Pacific, 6:30 in Tucson, 8:30 on the East Coast. So not terrible. That bad.
They've had worse.
I think it is a good opponent in the sense that they have a very good chance of winning. So, you finish 8-5, you feel pretty good about yourself heading into the offseason.
It's better than 7-6.
It is. All right, so we're going to talk about some other news in the Pac-12. Let's listen to a clip from a news conference earlier today, Zach, featuring Herm Edwards, the new coach of Arizona State. Ray Anderson spoke. The school president spoke.
Herm Edwards' agent spoke.
It was a whole thing. So here's a clip from that news conference, and then we'll talk about that and some other news around the league.
Hodrovino, Devil's Digest.
Devil's Digest, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where you located, my man?
Right here in Tempe.
Okay, Devil's Digest, okay. I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out them devils. Just saying.
Well, you can see,
we're good, brother.
You can see devils all over the place.
I ain't taking it personal.
All right, so many highlights from that wild news conference today.
Circus, if you will.
Circus, if you will. There was a lot of stuff going around on Twitter about Herm Edwards possibly not knowing that the school's nickname was Sun Devils. Obviously, he did. He was just joking with the reporter there in the clip. But in a way, this is kind of what I expected. I mean, Herm Edwards is very entertaining. He's captivating. He's a great orator. It might be a little too much. We'll get into that. Arizona State, here's what they've accomplished, right? They have garnered attention. Much in the same way when Lane Kiffin went to Tennessee, he got a lot of attention on that program.
Then he left.
When Jim Harbaugh went to Michigan, he was doing all these crazy things that was construed as stunts, sleepovers. And
Derek Jeter being in.
And spring break trips to Florida and Italy, all this stuff, right? Gets attention.
Maybe I should have gone to Michigan, I think.
Gets attention for the program. So is that a positive? Do you think that – I think you're probably on the side of being pretty skeptical about this whole Herm Edwards thing. All right, let's just start with this. Your thoughts on the hire and also your thoughts on this news conference that we had today.
Oh, man. I thought it was – I think it's pretty bad hire personally. As for the – we can get into that in a little bit. But the press conference, I just thought he like – I don't know. It's just like he needs everybody to know that he's like this great speaker. So he like made sure every single question he was asked, he would be asked about like recruiting, and then he would turn that into how he got into football, and he's talking for like, I've never seen a press conference like, we get the point with Herm Edwards, like we know who you are, like calm down. it was so over the top, and I get the feeling that it's going to be like that every time he does a press conference, and I'm just not personally convinced his shtick is going to work recruiting, and maybe he can motivate his guys, but I mean, the guys on that team wanted to play for Todd Graham, and they just brought in this 71-year-old guy with no college coaching background, really, who's
63-year-old, Zach. 71.
Whatever. Is he really only? I thought he was
63.
Yeah, 63. Okay. I thought he was 70. See, the narrative just brought the age up for me. But he hasn't coached in a decade. And when he did coach in the NFL, he didn't have a winning record. And I know everybody, and you'll probably point to that, he's on TV. But I don't. Why does that? I don't see why that. He's just a guy who talks about the NFL once a week. Like, why does that matter? I just don't. I know most people have been criticizing it, but I just don't. It doesn't even. I know Ray Anderson wouldn't answer the question when somebody asked him if they interviewed anybody else. It doesn't seem like they interviewed anybody else because that would have gotten out. Like that just doesn't get hidden anymore. And if they didn't interview anybody else, and he's hiring the guy that he represented a decade ago, like that's insane to me. It's weird. It's sketchy.
It seems pretty clear to me that Ray Anderson had this idea months ago, right?
That's the impression I got, yeah.
He had this plan. I mean,
he knew he was going to fire Todd Graham before that.
He knew that was going to happen. He also had this idea, obviously, to restructure the football program. I mean, if you haven't seen it out there, you need to find the press release.
Never seen it.
Announcing Herm Edwards hiring. It was filled with corporate gobbledygook, like you wouldn't believe. No press release announcing the hiring of a football coach has ever been written in that manner. And to me, what that does is it was already being scrutinized, the whole thing, and now
it's being parodied
even more. Yes,
yeah,
it's being parodied even more so.
Somebody wrote me earlier, and they're like, or no, I saw it on Twitter. I don't think they wrote me, but they're like, has this like overtaken Tennessee as the most ridiculous coaching search of the offseason? Probably not, but they've taken the attention away from Tennessee.
They sure have. Yeah. You know, we were talking before the podcast a little bit about LeVar Ball and all the stuff that he's been doing. Like the Lakers reporters are banned from talking to him, and he pulled his son out of UCLA.
All just today, those two things.
Right. So the parallel that I would make here is that he kind of made things harder on Lonzo by bringing all this attention to himself and
unneeded,
to the family, right?
Unwarranted, yeah.
So Arizona State kind of is in that same situation. There's all this attention on this new structure
there's going to be way more scrutiny on it, too. It
doesn't
work.
Right. Whereas Arizona, just kind of off doing their own thing down in Tucson, quietly. Stability within the coaching staff, which I think is always a good thing to have. You know, not getting the national attention. You know, I don't know what effect this will have in recruiting. That's one of the big components of this whole thing. But, you know, certainly it's like so outside the box that I don't even know how to describe it exactly.
Like so many aspects, even just like, it's good that that coaching staff isn't losing their job. It sounds like they're going to keep almost the entire staff.
Which is good for
which
them.
Which is interesting, but I still don't understand how that'll exactly work, because it's not like Herm Edwards is going to come in and do the exact same offense and defense that Todd Graham ran. So is he going to be teaching these coaches new things? And these coaches don't really know Herm Edwards that well. Like, this next year it could go very poorly.
It's going to be...
Especially, it sounded like players, just based off what Doug Haller was reporting, it sounds like they wanted to play for Todd Graham and they don't really know Herm Edwards that well. And and players on the roster are the ones that maybe even help even more than the coaches in recruiting, because players will come onto campus and be like, what's it like over here? And like, we don't know what the hell's going on.
He'll make a strong first impression with them. I don't think that Herm's relationship with the players is going to be as big an issue as his relationship with those coaches. Like you said, they don't know him. He doesn't know them. He's coming in kind of as an outsider. You know, is he just going to say, okay, we're going to keep our schemes the same, or you got to run my defense? You have to learn that. I'm sure he's going to, have some influence on everything. The one other thing that stood out to me from the press conference today was Ray Anderson spent a lot of time explaining the why, right? He even used that term when he was talking about the why.
Yeah, he was like getting defensive almost.
Right, which felt like, He felt like he needed to justify this whole thing.
Which isn't a good sign.
It's not a good sign. No, you want to go in there like completely confident. This is our plan. This is what we're going to do. And bringing up all these speakers and having the school president
and he cut to video. His agent. Has that ever happened in the history of intro press conferences?
Herm's agent, who I'm sure is friends with Ray Anderson too. No,
yeah.
Never.
Yeah. And
never
then,
ever.
And on top of that, another thing, there's so often coaches that get hired at places like a Herman. This is very unique. Who come in and like, you know, I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna coach these kids up to be better men than more than football. Like you're not the first person to ever think that. And I keep thinking like, so if you're a parent and you want to send your kid somewhere, would you rather send it to a coach who's been coaching in college for 10 years and understands how it works and has a proven track record of, you know, putting guys in the right position to succeed in life? Or would you rather a guy who just came from the NFL and is rich? And I don't know. I think that's a little overvalued. Not it's important that he gets them going, but I mean Todd Graham was really focused on that too, and he was just fired. So
I think he'll win the living room. I think he'll recruit well. I don't know how it's all going to translate onto the field. Arizona State was already recruiting well, right? They recruit. Yeah. They get better players than Arizona, don't they?
They get all the.
There's no one like N'Keal Harry on Arizona's roster. I mean, Obviously Khalil Tate is a great player, and he was a 4-star. Wasn't N'Keal Harry a 5?
Yeah, I think
he best player in the state.
Pretty close to it, at least. Yeah.
So, you know, they're already recruiting better. I think he wants to win some of those battles with USC and UCLA, which
not going
to
happen.
It's not really going to happen, especially with Chip Kelly being at UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to, beyond that, there's Stanford, Washington, all those other schools too. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think he's going to find out pretty quickly. It's not going to be maybe as easy as he thinks. I don't know if he thinks it is, but he kind of joked about this, but he also has to learn all the ins and outs and the rules of recruiting, because that becomes an issue with a guy like that who comes in and doesn't have any, especially recent, because everything's changed in the 20 years since he coached in college. Yeah. And he mentioned how he's been on a lot of college campuses. That doesn't mean anything. if he breaks a recruiting violation, people are going to be looking out for him too.
Coaching the Under Armour All-American game? Is that the one? Yeah,
because he was talking about
That pretty much qualifies him for the job right there. All right, so there's one more coaching situation in the Pac-12 I want to talk about before we get out of here. It is a fluid situation. It could change by the time you guys hear this podcast. Yeah. Right, but Willie Taggart apparently is drawing strong interest from Florida State.
John Gazzano reported, he's from the Oregonian. He said his sources told him that he was going to meet with Florida State. I don't know if it was going to be in Florida or not, but I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, everybody who listens to this podcast probably knows Willie Taggart background because of him being a thorn in the side of Arizona recruiting for the last year, and they might be happy that he's leaving. Potentially, but Florida State is obviously one of the premier jobs in the country. They don't change coaches very often. He's a Florida native, and he's their top priority. So everybody kind of understands why this is probably going in that direction. It's just a good fit on both ends. It's just pretty unique for a guy to go to a big-time job like Oregon, which really is a big-time job with the resources that derive almost anybody, and he might leave after a year. I mean, Oregon fans are going to love him.
It is. I mean, we've seen this happen before. We referenced Lane Kiffin earlier this.
Yeah, he parlayed into a better job. Yeah.
Right. In this podcast, he was at Tennessee for 1 year and he left for USC. I think the one difference with that is that he had been at that USC is where he came up through the ranks. You know, it was his dream job. Best job in America is what he called it at the time. Willie Taggart, he's just a Florida guy. He's not necessarily a Florida State guy. But man, to go to Oregon for just 1 year and then bail? I mean, holy cow, what a setback that would be.
Imagine being a parent of a recruit who went out there because of him. Braxton Burmeister, for example. It's a quarterback's position, especially where a new coach is going to want his own guy.
So not to get off on too much of a tangent here, but I think they should allow players, if the coach leaves, the players should be able to transfer
Do you see the whole thing with Mike Leach? So there's a player, I don't know what the player's name is, but he asked for his release to transfer from Mike Leach, who pretty openly was about to leave for Tennessee, and Mike Leach said no.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if there's been any updates in that. Like, that's just so petty and, like, ridiculous. Like, you were literally going to do that.
Yeah, and I think if the coach leaves, there should be a one-time provision where any players who are recruited by him
can be let out
and play immediately at another school, which... theoretically would benefit Arizona, right? Since there's like five guys who were committed to Arizona at one time who might consider the Wildcats. But Well, we were talking a little bit about, you know, if Willie Taggart leaves Zach, like, who might Oregon look at to replace him? Chip Kelly, off the table.
Scott Frost.
Just hired at UCLA.
Scott Frost in Nebraska.
Scott Frost is off the table. So you had brought up the name of Kevin Sumlin,
who's thinking of a guy
highly
who's out
qualified.
There.
I think would come in and do a really good job.
Think of guys who are, like, coaching somewhere else right now, who they would even want. I don't even know.
I mean, Oregon obviously has money.
Yeah, I think
right?
So
they've got Phil Knight.
They can pay buyouts.
They have amazing facilities. I like the roster, too. I mean,
they got
when Justin Herbert played last year, they were amazing. They get Herbert back for a year.
The new coach would get Herbert. It's a very appealing job, that's for sure. But it's just a weird time now because everybody's either accepted extensions or gone on to other jobs. So it's going to be very interesting. I can't even think of guys who might like fit out there off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure there's somebody.
And they're
Willie
not
Tiger
gonna,
came off the radar.
Right, and they're not going to settle either for some sort of mid-level coach. They will aim
They'll aim the highest at first probably and even just reach out to guys, even like a Saban or whatever, and they won't go there, obviously.
Right.
But they'll reach out. It's going to be interesting. That'll be a coach, especially the timing of it, it's just going to throw the league into chaos.
Right, and it is also possible that something will happen with the negotiations and he'll stay, but... You know, I think as Canzano pointed out in that column, like, at some point you kind of run out of patience when a coach is flirting with other jobs and trying to leverage for more money.
And he hasn't come out to say, I'm the Oregon coach. He's been asked many times. He's out recruiting guys, like, using an Oregon private charter plane while also maybe talking with another job at the same time.
He might not have a ride home. He might have to take the Florida State
back in the Pac-12? How about that?
That's your choice? That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I thought he'd be a good candidate for UCLA. That would have been a lot of fun. But how much more fun can we have? We've got Herm Edwards in the league now.
How great would the...
We got Chip Kelly.
How great would the Pac-12 conference calls be?
As I tweeted out earlier, like, Rich Rod's going to have to write some new material.
Yeah, we already know all his jokes.
You know, to keep up with these guys, because this is like... This is like this all-star comedy jam here with Chip and
Herm. Herm Edwards' Pac-12 calls, someone's going to ask one question and there's not going to be time. It's kind of like the Bill Walton effect.
Like, I feel like the average right now is about one question anyway. But if that. Okay. All right. That's our show for today. You can check out our work at Tucson.com as well as the free Wildcaster app. Zach is still going to be with us for the rest of the week, helping me cover some of this build-up to the Foster Farms Bowl. We'll be all over the recruiting scene this month with the early signing day coming up on December 20th. For Zach, I'm Michael. We'll see you next time.